demanded an urgent and horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now, this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Big story of the day. I got a lot. A couple of things here. Von Miller is at the Bills facility, Angel. He is available to play Sunday's game at Kansas City against the Chiefs amid the investigation into the alleged assault of a pregnant woman last week, according to general manager Brandon Bean. This is that tricky, tricky conversation, isn't it? I believe the innocent until proven guilty angel, but I also know that the NFL has, for the long time now, has really been trying to be sensitive of this topic and take action with players that potentially do something like this. So the question I have for the hooligans out there, should Von Miller be able to play this weekend? He's not found guilty, but he was arrested. He did turn himself in. So clearly he knew. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if that, I don't think that's like admitting guilt, but he turned himself in. He was arrested. There was a warrant out for his arrest. The woman, the pregnant woman, had bruises. We know that. Those are facts right now. Now she's coming out saying misunderstanding. That sounds really fishy. And what Bean is saying is we weren't there. We're not the investigators. We don't, obviously. You know, we had our conversations with Vaughn and understood what he believes happened. And so, from that standpoint, we can't get into it. In an open investigation, so we'll just let the legal process play out and he'll participate like normal in practice. I mean, should he practice even? Should he be at the facility?
Well, according to the Bills GM, he does not expect Miller to be placed on the commissioner's exempt list. No formal charges have been filed after Miller allegedly assaulted his longtime girlfriend. The Bills can play him this week.
It's a weird spot. It is a very weird spot. I don't know that there's... It's one of those, man, where I don't know
you
if
don't
it's
wanna,
the right answer.
You don't want to overreact without all the information.
Correct.
But, as you mentioned, the NFL has a history of these types of situations with big-time players.
Right.
Where it's like, hey, maybe you need to just sit to the side while we figure this out first. You're not suspended. You're not in trouble. Yeah. We just can't have you doing stuff right now.
Well, and it's kind of like, again, that Ray Rice situation. The first video they saw did not show Ray Rice knocking out his then fiance. It just showed him dragging her out of an elevator. They clearly believed he committed that. He caused that because they suspended him for 2 games. And it wasn't until they saw the second video of him actually hitting her that they suspended him for the season. And then, you know, we all kind of know the story after that with Ray Rice. So that was a case where he wasn't, until the second video came out, Ray Rice was not guilty of hitting his then fiance. But the NFL still suspended him. And then obviously found the second video and we all knew what happened. But the NFL has had a history of suspending players even if they're not found guilty or if there are no charges pressed against them. So should the NFL act here knowing that this woman, this is what we know, he was arrested, she made the call, and she had bruises. And now she's coming back saying, no, it was a gigantic misunderstanding. He didn't do that. Where'd the bruises come from? Didn't on her neck and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
So,
and there's a recording of her phone call with the police when this alleged incident happened.
And we don't have that. That's not public, is it?
I don't believe so. Or not that I've seen. But it also says Von Miller was on a veteran rest day today.
Give it another day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know what else.
I know you're
find.
Allowed to take, I think, one of those a week. But that also could be a disciplinary thing from the Bills.
Maybe.
But their owner did also say he expressed the organization's disappointment with Von Miller.
Hmm.
So.
Well, so that's admitting you think he did it. Why would you be disappointed if he didn't do it? That it escalated.
Hey, this. What's going on? Why don't you tell us this? You know.
Well, clearly it's bad enough it got bad enough where she made a phone call. Whether he touched her or not, it was bad enough where she was scared or something. I don't know.
And I mean, there was a warrant for your arrest. You turned yourself in. That's not an admission of guilt under the law, but it's fishy.
It is fishy. And then her coming back the next day, oh, no, it's all. So for, like, they're going to investigate this more, but if she's not going to press charges and now she's saying there's a bit, it's a big misunderstanding, it's over, isn't it? Isn't this over?
I think it should be, but I think the NFL is going to say, okay, there's something else going on here, or there's something is not being told the truth on either side here.
Probably, but Angel, if she's saying it was a misunderstanding and he didn't touch her, what more can you investigate?
I guess you can't, but the NFL as a brand, as a company, what kind of backlash?
And the NFL does do this. Even if they don't press charges and you're found innocent, if they still think something happened, they can suspend you.
Deshaun Watson, you got, what was it, 6 games?
Yeah.
For, you know, he was cleared on all the accounts of misconduct and all of that, but
it was like 11 games, wasn't it? It was deep into the season.
It was like 12 or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, and that still kind of left a bit of a black eye on the NFL.
Sure. Yeah, he wasn't. See, he settled by all with accounts, most of them.
He was settling. He was, I guess, not innocent, but not proven guilty. And, you know, he had to serve his time as a suspension.
So I'll ask this, like, again, what's worse? What Deshaun Watson did, and I say allegedly loosely, I think we all kind of think he did it. He did all those things. Or what we allegedly think, or what we think Von Miller allegedly did. What's worse? Wouldn't you think hitting a woman is worse than what Deshaun Watson did?
I mean, it would take a lot to backtrack what the Dallas police have on file, the phone call that they have, the written report that they received. It's hard to really, you know, they had to have something to put a warrant out. You can't just, hey, I need a warrant for this guy. You have to have some evidence for it.
I don't know.
The victim allegedly saying, no, this is a misunderstanding. It's okay.
Right.
What's going on here?
That's the difference, I guess. There it is. That's the key point here, is that her coming out saying it was a misunderstanding, whether it's true or not, does make the Deshaun Watson thing worse, because none of the women are coming out saying, no, they just stopped. The ones that settled just settled. Mm-hmm. They're not coming out saying it was a misunderstanding, you know? So this is a tricky one, man. This is why I think Roger Goodell, you know, he can, he's like the playoff committee, Angel. It's a no-win situation.
Maybe he needs a committee to make decisions.
Yeah. Probably should, yeah. Because, like, if he suspends him, you're going to have most people, half the people, say, what the hell? He's not found guilty of anything, and the girlfriend, if she's still his girlfriend, said it was all a giant misunderstanding. So you shouldn't do that. But then you're going to get the other group that's like, wait, I thought you guys were taking this stuff seriously. And she clearly has bruises. She clearly called the cops and he got arrested. So that should be enough to at least suspend him for a couple of games. Because again, I go back to the Ray Rice thing. You did not have any kind of guilt with the first video. You suspended him based on seeing him drag an unconscious woman out of an elevator. And you clearly knew it, but you didn't have any admission of guilt or any proof that he hit her. So you suspended him for 2 games, and then TMZ released the second video. So don't tell me that the NFL doesn't do this when they think you might have done it. They'll do it.
Well, I mean, this also, you know, the Bills are no stranger to this. If you remember their punter, Matt Araiza,
mm-hmm. Yes.
For all those allegations that came out, they cut him from the team. And then it came out a few months later that he was completely innocent.
Right.
And, you know, he doesn't have a job right now.
That was a weird story, too, wasn't it? Didn't they mistake him for somebody else?
I think so.
Whoever accused him, mm-hmm. mistook him for somebody else? Yeah, that was a weird story. So that's certainly a big one following. You know, again, being a Broncos person, I've always loved Von Miller. So this is a sucky story. And I don't know what to do. I don't know what the Bills should do. Should they just keep letting him go? And they can rest on the fact that looks like there's not going to be any charges pressed at this stage. We'll see. The Bills are in constant communication with the NFL right now. The Bills do not anticipate, as Angel said, that Miller will be placed on the commissioner's exempt list. He said they would allow the investigation to play out and would follow the lead of the NFL. That's tough. All right, a couple quick stories. Mike McCarthy is having surgery, but he is expecting to coach against the Eagle, against the Eagles coming up.
Was it acute appendicitis?
Mm-hmm. So I've heard of a couple coaches getting that.
Stress.
Yeah.
I think it's a stress thing.
I would imagine so.
And it is. Take it out. It's kind of a worthless thing anyway.
I'm trying to think. Didn't Vic Fangio have something like that a couple years ago? And then he was able to come back shortly after that?
Do you have an appendix?
Hmm?
Do you have an appendix?
Yeah. Do you?
I don't.
Why?
Well, I had my kidney out when I was 3.
Oh, really?
So they kind of were just, we're here. Might as well.
Just take it out?
Yeah. You don't need it.
You don't really need it.
No. It doesn't do anything.
So why not just get it out of
there? If anything, it can make you sick later in life.
Really? Look at you.
It could do this where it, it could burst from stress or anything like that.
I mean, plus you can lose some weight.
Yeah.
Pull that thing out of there.
But he's expected to coach still?
Yeah. Wow. Gonna coach.
They're built different in Dallas.
Yeah, they are. So now the Jets are going to name Zach Wilson as quarterback 1 against Texas. So was that report not real?
According to Aaron Rodgers, the leading expert on facts...
True, he is.
It's allegedly, he's like, I don't know where this report came from, blah, blah, blah.
Wasn't it two different reporters that said Zach Wilson wasn't really wanting to be put back in the starting role?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it does seem, to be fair, it seems like a Zach Wilson thing to do.
I really just don't think he wants to play anymore. He's like, give me my check, let me sit on the bench.
I'll just be a backup. I'm good with that.
We'll watch cartoons on the little iPad and call it a day.
I'll date a couple of moms and we'll see what happens. Couple of mom's friends.
Weird stuff in the Jets organization.
He's been that's been a weird deal for him. No question about it. First Advantage, text line 888-530-0043. Angel, are you good with players skipping out on a bowl game so they can prepare for the draft? Don't risk the injury. You good with that?
I wasn't when this trend started a few years ago. I'm coming around to it a little bit more.
Well, it came up because your Florida State wide receiver, there's one of them, Tanner. Now you just need the rest of them to do it. Johnny Wilson is skipping the bowl, and he's going to enter the draft.
I think I saw another Florida State player going to the portal as well.
Yeah.
So you're seeing a lot of that as well. It's like you can sit out, you can go to the portal, or you can stay and practice for a couple weeks and play in a game.
No problem with a guy sitting out for the bowl game because he's wanting to get drafted. I don't like sitting out your bowl game and then entering the portal. Not big into that. I guess you could argue it's the same thing, but
that's just because the window is where it is.
Right.
And it's, hey, you can get in the week after conference championship.
So you can't do it after the bowl season? Like right after?
I think there's another window that you have to, I think it's like a spring window you have to wait for. That's like after, man. I think it's before, like right when spring practices gets going, the portal opens up again. So it's like, hey, I've been here for a couple of weeks. I'm not feeling it. I'm going to jump in the portal.
Yeah, you're right. Well, but why not go put more tape on there? Make yourself more desirable in one more bowl game.
I'm good enough. I don't need another game.
Maybe.
Film. Or I have a good connection with somebody that talked to my mom on Facebook, and I think I got a car waiting for me.
I don't want to spend another 3 weeks with this program.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I remember when Christian McCaffrey did it. That was a big old thing. It was like, he should play in his bowl for his team. And I don't have a problem with that if you're going to the NFL.
Right.
Doesn't seem to bug me. 19 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break. Nikola Jokic, let's talk some Joker, man. He is that good. Is it possible that we have not even seen the best of the two-time MVP? It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Congratulations to Coach Bruce Dick on his induction into the Colorado High School Coaches Association Hall of Fame. Hear the Hall of Famer on KFKA weekdays 10 to 11.
This is Joel Cantalamessa from RamNation.com. You're listening to the Hall Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
I'm a joker, I'm a smoker, I'm a midnight toker. I sure don't want to.
Great tune choice there, Angel. I want to thank Renaissance Insurance Group in Windsor. My guy, Ryan Hicks, formed by two UNC Bears alumni 20 years ago. That's Renaissance Insurance. Check them out at 970 or call them at 970-674-8828. 25. Don't lose what you've been working so hard for. Call my guy Ryan. Did we miss the press conference? I kept looking, Angel, and even 10 after, I didn't have it yet. So I don't know if I just wasn't able to load it or what, but Craig Bohl announcing his retirement.
Jay is talking right now.
Okay, do we want to go to that for 5 minutes here and listen to the new head coach for the Wyoming Cowboys? Let me know if you can get it. Let's pop over to it right now.
My opinion is relationships with people, because that's what I am. I'm a relationship people person. I told you, you saw. I'm real. What I do, what I've been through. Our players, you can talk to a lot of our defensive players. They know my successes in life. They know my failures in life, and they know I'm confident in a lot of ways, but they also know that I'm real in a lot of ways. And the fact that I want to make sure that I do everything I can for everybody in this program and not just one side of the ball or anything else. So no, I will not be calling defenses. That's going to be passed on a different way. And that's what we're going to do.
Jay, Craig just talked about it. 10 years ago, he sat down with Tom Berman, and he tasked him with playing cowboy tough football. You said that you had to get together a plan, and can you share your plan with us, and what are you tasked with as the head coach?
Well, I mean, as a head coach, the number one thing that I feel like right now is that I mean, where we're at, we're consistently good right now. We really are. We're a consistently good program. When we show up and play every week, everybody knows that we're going to play well, we're going to be in games, we're going to win games, and that whole thing. And that's a credit to where Coach Bohl has the program. We're consistently really good. You know, the task is to not only – you want to maintain, but you got to build, right? Like, we want to build. You know, and that's the thing there that look, I hope that 10 years from now that I can do the same thing as have a press conference this way, and then I hope that in my 10th year that we can say we've won X number of Mountain West championships. That's what I want. That's what I want. And when Coach Bohl came here, this facility wasn't here. And there's a lot of heavy lifting that has to be done when you take over a program that, you know, has, what, 2-win seasons or whatever and no facility and all that. There's so much earth moving that has to be done that for where our program is to be at right now, bowl games the last 3 years, 8-win season this year, the type of wins that we had this year, the attendance that we had. Okay, great. And that's a great model to start with. Now my task is to build on it, right? And it's not to maintain, it's to try to build on it. And that's coach's expectation for me. He doesn't want, you know, he wants me to shove it forward. It's got to go shove forward. And that's what it is. And that's the expectation to it. And that's the energy that I've got every day that, you know, and I don't go anywhere. I stay in this building like all the time anyway. So I'm looking forward to just what we can do. I want to shove this forward and do the best we can.
So, Jay, you've never been a head coach at any stop. Mm-hmm. How much are you going to rely on Craig Bohl and the Jerry Kills and the Lou Holtzes of the world as you navigate this new way of life?
With Craig Bohl, it's how much he'll take my call. Okay, so it's in terms of how much I might wear him out, I told him, I said, you better keep that phone on you. You know, I think what happens is with it, there's layers to it, right? Like when we're talking about like practice schedules and scripts and this, you know, play and this defense and these types of things, you know, those are really things that you know, you base your experiences on and you do that. You know, when you talk about going over to Cheyenne and speaking in front of the Senate and things like that, I'm going to have to be calling Coach Bohl and asking him, like, you know, how's this go and what do we say and that type of thing. But the reality to it is that everybody's a resource and you grow and learn from that throughout. You know, I had headphones on and blinders on for all these years. You've learned these experiences and you've learned so much from the people that you've, you know, been a part of. And obviously the two biggest influences for me is Coach Bohl and Jerry Kill in that regard. Partly because I spent the most time with those two, partly because the programs that they run are the program styles that I believe in the most. You know, so it's easy that way.
What's your favorite Craig Bowles story that we don't know that you can share publicly?
Let's go pass on that. Watch it.
I will be really careful with that. I don't know. You know what? That's a great question. I tell you what. I do know this. I'll just leave it at this. Coach Bowl can make a great Manhattan, not just a good one. He can make a great Manhattan, and that's what I'll say. And he also makes a tremendous steak. And probably, maybe, I don't know, the only story I could probably tell is I have an appreciation of Silver Oak now, thanks to working for Craig Bowl. That would be my one off-the-field story, I would say.
The only thing I would say, I want to interrupt here, that door, I about broke my foot during our COVID year when he showed up. I was impassioned about protocol, and Jay wasn't so much. You remember some pretty pointed discussions and me kicking that door. He didn't have his mask off.
Where this tie is right now would be where my mask would be quite often. And he came in here one day, and we, first of all, our defensive staff always met in this room, right? And so, but we're like 15 feet apart. So we must have had like super COVID going in here, because I'm standing there one day up there at this the keyboard thing, and I had my mask down, and he comes in and just hotter than a hornet, and he was like, you know, like, damn it, you can just go home if you want to put your mask up. And I'm like, man, I'd have to be blowing it on people from here. But I think, you know what, now that he said that, the one favorite thing that I have, and we have on video, is during the COVID year, he would carry a 6-foot piece of PVC pipe around at practice and be jabbing players with it to keep 6 feet apart from each other. And to this day is one of the funniest things. Out of a completely wreck of a year with all the things that we all had to go through, there's a couple things that came out of it. And I think maybe the other one was the fact that how frustrated he was that we couldn't practice outside when we first started that year because of the forest fires. So we had to be inside. So, but no, there's great stories. I loved working for him.
There's a new head coach for the Wyoming Cowboys, former defensive coordinator Jay Sovell. I mean, sounds good. Press conferences always sound good. It wasn't prime time, but it was good. You know, that was perfect. A couple of COVID stories in there. Craig Bowles was kind of hanging out. We probably missed him. They probably opened with Craig Bowl, I'm guessing. So, Wyoming Cowboys, you have a brand new coach, and he was you're used to him. So, get your thoughts on that one. Maybe we'll talk about that later on in the program. Mark Johnson talking Buffs coming up with us next. The Colorado Buffs basketball team, they have a huge game coming up in a few days against Miami. So we'll talk about that with Mark 33 minutes after the hour. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Sefa Lufau, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KSKA.
Minutes after the hour, Cables Pub and Grill. Every day's pretty good day to stop by Cables. But you're thinking about a Wednesday stopping by, well, then I'll let you know. $3 pints today and $7.99 for personal pizzas, up to 3 toppings. That's Cables Pub and Grill, where my friends meet. Absolutely it is. Love that place. No Mark Johnson? No Mark? Try him one more time. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Let's read off some. I'll read off some texts here. Dixon talking about the sitting out of a bowl game thing. Not a fan of sitting out the bowl game. Kind of crappy thing to do to your school, and more importantly, your teammates. The "I'm more important than you" attitude kind of sucks. And who wants to watch games where the best players aren't playing? Like, I'm sure the sponsors of whatever bowl USC is going to are just thrilled. You're going to feel good about paying full ticket price when Williams ain't playing? I just don't have a problem with it. You know, this goes to my core belief of bowl season. I think it's just a money grab. I mean, no other sport has this stuff, man. You got all these little secondary championships. I know, Angel, you love the bowl games and all that. And I'm not saying I won't sit down and watch some football and watch some bowl games because it's something on and I'm wired to watch sports, so that's just what I'll do. But I don't really look at it and think that the bowl game is really a part of your season. It's an offshoot. It's something different. Oh, give him a call again, Angel. He's saying he's ready. Let's give him a buzz. Mark Johnson, the voice of the bus. So this goes back to my core belief of I'm not really into the bowl games. So I don't really view them as, other than playoffs, I don't really view them as a big part of the regular season and stuff. So, yeah. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Interesting day today, man. I mean, we get the story about Craig Bohl calling it quits. He's set to retire. Von Miller, we got that weird story. It sounds like he might play. Dixon texting, a basketball has the NIT and other stuff too. I don't like that either. And I know a lot of our teams go, and it's kind of like I said, if you can go. If you can go to a bowl game, go. Go win it. Go win six games. Get in. It's there for you. Neat. I'm rooting for you to win six. Same with basketball. If you can't make it to March Madness and you want to go play in a secondary tournament that is really just another excuse to go play basketball and make more money, then go for it. I've never really been into that side of things. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. All right, Angel's trying to call, but you're going just straight to voicemail? Oh, maybe we got him. Maybe we got him. Here we go. Excited about this. The voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson, joining us. Mark, I want to talk some hoops with you, obviously. I want to get into offensive coordinator stuff for the Buffs football side of things. But first off, where are you on this college football playoff thing? Did the committee get it right, wrong, or somewhere in between?
It's a tough thing. They're in a no-win situation with that deal, right? And so I don't necessarily have a problem with what they did. I mean, you can make a strong argument on a number of different aspects of this. I mean, think about the fact that Georgia has essentially been the number one team for the last 2 years. They lose one game to a very good team that's in the playoffs and get knocked totally out of it. And so I think, you can make an argument that, should Georgia have had an opportunity? Now, Florida State, if you look at strength of schedule, I'm not sure their strength of schedule is as tough as some others. And so, but I think the most fascinating thing about this, I guess I'm not trying to dodge a question. I'm just not sure that there was a right answer here. Because what happens now with Georgia? What if Georgia goes out and beats the living snot out of Florida State, right? What if they beat them by four touchdowns? Everyone's going to go, see, they didn't belong there anyway. And so now the interesting thing would be if Florida State beats Georgia in the playoff game or in the bowl game, and then Michigan and Washington get beat, and now you've got a 14-0 Florida State team that beat Georgia that's going to have a strong argument, I think, for a national championship share. So I think it's just – I'm just not sure there's a right answer to it, to be honest with you. We'll fix this next year, and then if you're number 13 in the country, too bad.
Right. That's going to be where the argument starts now. I mean, we're just going to keep kicking out this argument a little bit more. But I agree with you 100%. When I was asked about this earlier in the week, I don't think they were right. I don't think they were wrong. I agree with you on the – you're having a committee like this, and that's their own fault for doing this, but you're never going to win because someone's going to argue with who you put in. I tweeted this out on Monday, Mark. We used to argue about who was named the national champ. Then we argued about who was in the championship game. Now we're arguing about the playoff teams. Next year, like you said, we'll argue about number 13.
and I won't have any sympathy for number 13. You know what? I don't want to hear from number 13. By that point in time, we're going to kind of get past the point where now we're going to just decide everything on the football field. But yeah, it was a tough situation, and I don't have a strong issue with the fact that I've seen some of the national pundits really make comments about how this was totally blowing them up. It wasn't. You can make a strong argument either direction in this about Florida State being in or Florida State not being in. And so I'm not going to impugn the group too much, the committee too terribly much. And, the next few weeks here, we'll kind of see how things, kind of flush out. And like I said, if Florida State's standing undefeated at the end of the year, okay, they made a mistake, and we can all admit to that, and they'll have some way. I know that we don't have a split national championship anymore, but maybe they'll at least have an argument for it.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. It's like I ask people, you know, you want FSU in, who are they replacing? Well, they should take Alabama's spot. Well, Alabama beat Georgia, the number one. They were number one, whether you agree or not. They were number one pretty much all year. Then it's like, okay, fine, Texas. Well, Texas beat Alabama. So you can go round and round in circles until you go crazy. So I'm with you. I'm not going to beat them up over this.
No. Somebody showed me a deal that, you know, one of those, well, Colorado beat this team, and this team beat that team, and that team beat that team, and said, see, Colorado should have been in because of who they beat and who that team went on and beat. And, you know, you can make all sorts of those silly kind of arguments. So I don't have a huge issue with it. I'll just be interested to see kind of how the games, you know, flush their way out. And, you know, again, if Georgia crushes Florida State, okay, we don't have much of a conversation anymore.
Yeah, no, that's how we can solve it. I guess we can take to the field on that side of it. All right, Mark, Pat Shurmur, it sounds like the offensive coordinator position is going to be his, or I guess we're still kind of waiting for official word?
Yeah, is potentially his. I know that Prime the other day in an interview said most, I think the phrase he used is most likely. So that's, you know, I guess positive. If you're Pat Shurmur, I guess if you're anybody else, you're thinking, well, maybe that's not the case. And so it wasn't very definitive at that point in time. And so I guess we'll have to wait and see. But, you know, we were hearing other names out there. But at this point, that's what we're led to believe. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, well, and what do you make of that? And this is another one of those things that I think is tricky. I know you got the Broncos fans that are like, Pat Shurmur was terrible and blah, 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 blah. Listen, you get to this level, you get to the NFL level, you get to the college level, the Division I level, you got to know football. You're pretty good at it. And to be fair to Pat Shurmur, giving him a full offseason, knowing he's the guy, he clearly did it at one point in his career, and he did it well enough to earn head coaching jobs. So I'm not really one of those guys, Mark, that's just ripping and roaring about the Pat Shurmur thing. I mean, it's interesting for sure. I don't know if it's the best choice in the world, but I don't know that it's the worst one either.
Well, first, understand, and years ago, Tom Crean, the great coach at Marquette at the time, and I were talking, and he said to this, he goes, listen, understand that anybody who rises to the levels we're talking about knows the game of football.
Right.
Okay? And in this case, Tom Crean was talking about basketball. But, you know, that's why I always chuckle when, you know, I talk to a fan, they go, oh, yeah, that coach, you can tell he doesn't know what he's doing. Really, he doesn't know football. He's you know, whatever he is, 50 years old, and spent the last 40 years of his life studying the game of football, a lot of times playing the game of football, coaching the game of football, breaking down tape, analyzing other coaches. But you, Bob the Plumber, understands that he doesn't know anything about football. Okay, all right, I guess you're much smarter than he is, okay? So when we make those comments, that's always silly. You might not agree with their execution. You might not agree with their philosophy. That's fair to question. Now, one thing we can do, if you're looking at the Pat Shurmur thing, and I know Broncos fans are not a fan of his because of the way things went with the Broncos, but you can look and say, okay, what was the production offensively while Sean Lewis was the offensive coordinator? And then compare that to the four games that Pat Shurmur was. The numbers were more productive under Sean Lewis. Okay, that's a fair assessment you can make. Now, is it a total assessment? No, because as you just pointed out, now he would have a full year of setting up his system. He took this thing over midstream and tried to make the best of it. So, you know, is it a decision if this is what Prime decides for his offensive coordinator that's sexy and you know, gets everyone excited? Not in Denver, Colorado, it wouldn't be. Now, someplace else it might be. They'd say, we got a former NFL head coach as our offensive coordinator. But in Denver, because of his history with the Broncos, that's not going to happen. Now, that doesn't mean he's not going to have productivity with Shedeur Sanders and the Buffs offense, whatever that looks like in 2024.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see how that one all unfolds. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs. Quickly here, Mark, the Buffs have a huge, monumental, monster basketball game coming up on December 15th against the UNC Bears. No, against Miami in a couple of days. I love that game, by the way, but seriously, they're going up. They got a tough, tough task coming at them in a few days against Miami.
Yeah, Miami, a team that was in the Final Four a year ago and is very good, ranked in the top 15 in the country right now, was as high as, number 7 or 8, I think, is as high as they got. So, very talented opportunity. You know, they had a very good opportunity, and I'll say this in your station, being up there in Northern Colorado. Colorado State was a great opportunity, and the Rams played fantastic in that ball game. Shot the lights out. Isaiah Stevens is as good as advertised. Colorado did not play well defensively in that ball game, and had some issues offensively, and did not take advantage of an opportunity. Give full credit to the Rams for that. They deserve all the credit in that ball game. Now Colorado's got another opportunity against a high-level team, and you know, it's on a neutral court. You know, unlike the Florida State game where you're playing in Florida State's backyard and you played them down in Daytona, this one is truly a neutral court, the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. And so a great challenge for Colorado, and one that can strengthen, you know, their arguments when you get to the end of the season for being an NCAA tournament team.
I could watch CU and CSU play like a best of seven series, Mark. That was a fun game, especially in the second half when the Buffs get rolling. That they made that thing. I mean, they got back quickly. So both teams, I think, are going to be dancing, and both teams should have a lot of success this season.
I'd agree. I would certainly agree. I'm real impressed with Nico Medved's team from a toughness standpoint, and I think Isaiah Stevens sees the court about as well as anybody I have seen in college basketball in a long time. I think he's not a good point guard. He's a great point guard with great vision, and he makes that team. Let me say it this way. He elevates that team because of how good he is. So, Rams fans, you enjoy that young man because he is outstanding.
No question about it. Like I said, I'd love to see those guys go against each other. A lot of future professional basketball players were on the floor that night too, Mark. So, I know there's some sensational teams there for sure. Mark, my man, we'll catch up with you next week. We'll be looking forward to that call coming up. What time do you get rolling for CU in Miami?
That's on Sunday, and it's an early game. So think about this. We're on the East Coast. That means we're tipping off at 10 a.m. East Coast time out in New York. Noon Mountain time. We're going to hit the air on the Colorado Basketball Network at 11:30 with the Buffs Warm-Up pregame show. And you can always dial us up, of course, on the Varsity Network app. If you ever have to listen online, that's where you want to go and listen. You can listen not only to the Buffs, but the Rams and everybody else. Wyoming Cowboys are on there. Everyone's on the Varsity Network app. Go there and listen. That's always the best way to listen.
All right, my man. I will do. Appreciate you as always. We'll catch up with you next week.
All right. We'll see you. Bye.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Sounds like Pat Shurmur, probably going to be the offensive coordinator for the Buffs. Let's take a quick break. It's a whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
You like podcasts? We podcast every show immediately after it airs at 1310kfka.com or wherever you download your favorite stuff. Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Lemons Heating and Cooling. It's nice out there today. Going to be warm the rest of the week, I think, until Friday, Angel. Get cold again, maybe some snow. Think about Lemons Heating and Cooling. Get that heater fixed up. And maybe you're good. Maybe your heater situation is awesome, but you know somebody who's complaining about it. You know somebody who's mentioned it. Talk to our friends at Lemons Heating and Cooling. LemonsHeatingandCooling.com. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. In the final hour of the show today, I'm going to talk about Nikola Jokic. Let's ask you the question, Angel. Do you think we've even seen the best of this dude? I mean, he's currently leading in points, rebounds, and assists still, isn't he? They got the Clippers tonight. It's amazing. I don't know if he's doing anything more miraculous than he was last year. It's just he's doing it more often.
Yeah, I think I saw a clip yesterday that the Nuggets social media team put out, and one of the little clips they had was Coach Malone saying, I have to remind myself not to get caught up in the greatness of it and just appreciate what we have right now, because it's phenomenal. And we, you know, in the last 20, 30 years of NBA basketball, we've seen a lot of great players. And Jokic kind of just stands on his own in his uniqueness, his style, and his personality.
I think that you can start to really have that conversation. I know it just sounds crazy, but the GOAT conversation is worthwhile. Is he the GOAT? No. I mean, it's Michael Jordan. But his skill set, what he's able to do on a nightly basis, I mean, this is some big-time stuff, man. And I know it's dangerous territory to say he's doing it better than Jordan or Bryant or whatever. He's certainly doing it in a different way. But his numbers on a nightly basis are ridiculous. So let's talk a little bit about the Joker and just how good can he get. Also, more on the college football playoffs, and we'll get to what we learned at the end of the program. It's the whole show powered by Chevron, live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. We'll be right back.